Well, I've been looking for me for 70 years now. I find parts and then I find new parts. One of the things that I think is really interesting is that for a lot of us, we've done a lot of different things in our lives. And one of the things about doing a celebration of someone's life, like we did for Flip recently, is you realize how many different things people have done. And you know them in one context, maybe two, but to realize how many careers they've had, interests they've had, things they've experienced, places they've lived. And it's so wonderful to really be able to share that and to realize that we're looking for me the whole time, that spark of the divine that we are, and to find the beauty of that instead of doing the outer world criticism of that. And that many of us have actually had multiple lifetimes in this lifetime. We've had multiple relationships, multiple careers, we've lived different places. And so things are moving more quickly on the spiritual scene. It used to be you had to get a new body for each of those. I've had the same body with at least three, quote, lifetimes in this one, which is why I have silver hair now, probably. But isn't that wonderful? This world is so open and rich with experiences and places to go and people to meet and things to do, things to learn about, ways to grow your soul, ways to see spirit in new ways. I believe the shadowed times are there so that we can see the spark of the presence of the divine in deeper and truer ways when it's more subtle. Do we love it when it's like a great big birthday present? Yes, but when it's in the quiet of night, that light is ever and always with us, wherever our soul journey goes. And trusting that allows you to navigate life as it comes along with a lot more peace and grace, with a lot more compassion for others. I think we have so many experiences, not only for our own soul growth, but so we can be present in the world with deeper compassion and understanding for others, as well as for ourselves. And the music plays in the background as I speak. Divine surprises everywhere. One of the things that I love about traveling, and Lane and I are getting ready to leave. We go Tuesday late afternoon over to the Seattle airport to the hotel, and we fly out on Wednesday to go to Rome, and then we do a repositioning cruise with our best friends Sarah and Jim. And so we've got 3 weeks, so we're actually doing it with a carry-on bag and a personal item. The angels say, travel lightly. So that's what we're trying to do. And the thing that I love about traveling, whether it's in the pages of a book I'm reading or physically stepping into the world, is that it's an opportunity to see things with new eyes. I love riding on a train and looking out the window and going, what would my life have been like if I'd been born in that little village? So I hope we have many lifetimes, not only in this one, but our soul gets to come back. There is so much wonder to experience in this world. And this series, this whole year, Sacred Earth, Sacred Soul, is based on a book by John Philip Newell. That's been kind of our text for the year. And it stresses the importance of the beauty and wonder of the world and that it's all sacred. The beauty and wonder of each of us as a spark of the divine and eternal soul experiencing this amazing world. And that it's all beautiful and all one. He says this, in the Celtic world, to adore the divine is to reverence the human. Isn't that a beautiful word? Reverence. Not just say, oh, you're nice. reverence the human. To love heaven is to cherish the earth. To see heaven right where you are and to care for it with the tenderness that you would for heaven. And finally, to celebrate spirit is to honor matter, because they're all the same thing. It's all the same light. The quantum physicists say this is light energy, just in a denser form that's taken this particular shape. John, this chapter has been focused on Kenneth White. And he talked about seeing the world as the diamond country, where that presence of God is shimmering everywhere and in everything. I read one of the pieces that he wrote 2 weeks ago on loveliness everywhere, that even in the darkest, seeming ugly, the presence of the divine is shining forth, and it's just how we see it. And if we get to the place where, rather than saying this is good and this is bad, this is pretty and this is ugly, if we can honor the divine presence in whatever form it takes, is where we will find true unity and true peace. The threefold path was rediscovering the earth, rewording the world, changing how you interpret it, and seeing it with the new eyes in what he called the newfound land. And I love that, the newfound land. Here is a poem by Kenneth White. I was aware of a new land, a new world, but I was loath to name it too soon. Simply content to use my senses, feeling my way step by step into the reality. Isn't that beautiful? Opening. Don't define it. Experience it. I lived and moved as I had never done before, knew a larger identity, the tracks of the caribou in the snow, the flying of wild geese, the red autumn of the maple tree bitten by frost. All these became more real to me, really more me than my very name. I found myself still saying things like, at one with the spirit of the land, but there was no spirit. None of this. It was an outworn language, and this was a new world. And my mind was almost like a new mind, so there was no such thing as spirit. Only the blue tracks in the snow, the flying of the geese, and the frost-bitten leaf. Religion and philosophy, what I'd learned in the churches and schools, were all too heavy for this traveling life. All that remained to me was poetry, but a poetry and as unobtrusive as breathing. A poetry like the wind, like the maple leaf. And I spoke to myself, moving over the land. Isn't that a beautiful image? Beautiful image. And it's reminding us that it's so easy to move through life and to see things as we've always categorized them. And one of the greatest ways to rediscover presence is simply to be where you've been before, but to see it with new eyes. To be with people that you know well, but to see new layers of them and their souls and their soul journey. And when we try and define it and put it in a box like traditional theology has done, matter bad, spirit good, was one of the classic ones we've been talking about this year. If you can break those boxes out and put all of the wonders on the ground in front of you, you really get to experience the depth and richness of divine presence. One of the things that I did for this year was I did a workshop that was on navigating difficult times, coming as we come out of the pandemic. We did a long workshop, and then for the Into the Mystic Fair, I did a presentation on this. And as I was working on things for today, I realized I haven't shared these seven lessons from Julian of Norwich with you, and it goes perfectly with this chapter and this, the essence that we're speaking of now, with life as soul journey and the world as an amazing place of wonder and presence. Julian of Norwich lived from 1342 to 1429, approximately. That helps for those of you who like sequential and history, gives you a place where she was. She lived in a time where they had multiple plagues. She lived in England, in Norwich, and over half the population was decimated over a 20-year period by various pandemic plague things that came through. And so she went through that, and she developed a spirituality that allowed her to be present with love and compassion for others and for herself, and to reframe what's going on. At the time, a lot of people believed that the plague had been sent because people were being bad. Does that sound a little familiar? People were being bad, and this was punishment from God. I thought God was love. And what she said was, this is an opportunity for us to see goodness. When there's a challenge, that is when the part of us that is bravest will step forward. When someone we know is in trouble, we will rush and do whatever we can to be of assistance. I saw something a couple of months ago where someone was pinned under a car and people gathered and they flipped the car over together. We can be present in the world and see the goodness rather than focusing on blame. Because the divine presence is there for one and for all. This is the church of amor, the church of love. It's the mystical strain of Christianity rather than the Church of Roma, which is the more traditional theology. The Church of Amor sees love as the greatest commandment. It expresses through the Celtic and the Cathar traditions and through what we call unity today. We're part of that same strand. Here is something that she said. This is what I understood about Christ's human aspect. Christ himself embodies all of humanity. She believed to focus on love and gratitude. Christ represents the spiritual yearning in us all. Christ is all spiritual seekers, and all spiritual seekers are Christ, that divine spark. She wrote a book that's the Revelation of Divine Love. And it was the first book ever published in England written by a woman. And it ended up being significant for theologians for centuries down to our time now, because it's about that breathing and feeling and knowing the presence of the divine in the midst of whatever life is bringing. She said one of the keys to experiencing that presence is to take time to retreat into our own souls, because that is where our beloved dwells. I'm so glad that at Unity we believe that everyone has that divine spark and that we have that place of the Most High where we can commune with the divine whenever and wherever we like. And totally in alignment with Sacred Earth and Sacred Soul by John Philip Newell in our time, she says, God has chosen the soul of humanity as his resting place. We are all sparks of the divine. So she came up with seven distinct lessons. And there's a book by Matthew Fox that has this. If you're interested in it, it's a thin book, but a rich book. And these are how you navigate pandemics, how you navigate challenging times, how you reframe your life where challenges become true opportunities to learn. I know when I first went to Al-Anon many, many years ago, they asked me finally to speak after I'd been there a while, and I opened with my talk with, "I don't know about you all, but sometimes I get sick of opportunities to learn. I'd like a little peace." But it's all part of life. Those opportunities to learn, looking back on my life, are the times where I really got it in new ways. I had to be shaken out of complacency so I could experience something new. So I love these lessons from Julian of Norwich because they welcome us to be open and to experience life as it comes, rather than judging it, judging ourselves, and judging others. The first, you're going to love this one. Julian of Norwich tells us not to flee the darkness, but to stick around for everything, the suffering, the chaos, the unknowing. The dark night of the soul has much to teach us. Don't flee the darkness. That's one of the things that for me as a Unity minister was so important. My first Unity church, you had to always come in and say everything was perfect. You couldn't say you'd lost your job or you were sick or you were in pain or you were sad. It's everything is perfect. And I thought that's spiritually dishonest. I need to be honest. And so embracing the challenges and the darkness is one of the great gifts from Spirit. The second one, she reminds us not to forget the deep down goodness of things, the goodness that pervades existence itself, which should elicit joy, wonder, and awe. In the most challenging times is when we really get to shine for one another and for our world. We are deep down good. We're born in original blessing, not original sin. Number three, she calls us for deep reflection on and appreciation of the divinity to be found in nature and in the cosmos as a whole, as well as in all the creatures and in all beings. The divine found in everything. Everything. Next, she urges us to return to the divine feminine and a sense of the motherhood of God. She demands that we bring gender balance alive in our souls, our institutions, and our culture. I've shared for years that I think part of the evolution of our time, that we're now shifting into something even broader and wider, is the bringing together in balance and harmony of divine masculine and feminine. Not where one or the other is greater, but where they abide with their gifts and they come together and harmonize. They're like the two wings of a dove. You lose one wing and you can't fly. You need both. When I came to Unity and I heard about Father, Mother, God, I thought, wow, that's a mouthful. And then I realized what a beautiful, beautiful concept to embrace that divine feminine as well as the divine masculine. It's an and, it's not an either or. And the Trinity originally in the early church was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with Holy Spirit being the divine feminine. It wasn't until later in theology that all three became masculine, which when you look at creation makes no sense. So it was Father, Mother, and created being that came from their love and their presence. Number five, Julian calls us to our deepest selves, our most noble selves, our truest selves, and to an experience of non-dualism between us and the divine. It's not God there, heaven there, it's God here, heaven here, as one. It's just that shift in perception that changes everything. Next, she addresses the primacy of trust and courage. Trust and courage. Trust in our own bodiliness, how's that for a word? And earthiness, our sensuality, our sexuality, our spirituality form a sacred marriage. Have the trust and the courage to take that deepest self and allow it to express in the world. We all need for each of us to hold the light in the world. And finally, number 7, Julian reminds us that love unites us all. We can rise up with trust and courage to spread love, make justice and compassion happen. In doing this, a promise is set forth that someday all can be well. And that mantra that we knew from Simon so well, all shall be well, all shall be well, and every kind of thing shall be well. And with Simon, it was all manner of things shall be well. Remember that one? All shall be well, all shall be well, all manner of things shall be well, shall be well. Hi, Simon. In his book, Matthew Fox says that mantra is probably the truest vaccine we could ever take for the pandemic. Isn't that cool? No debate as to whether or not the vaccines are good or bad or whatever. A mantra that honors the presence of God in the midst of everything. All shall be well. All shall be well. And every kind of thing shall be well is the greatest gift that we can give one another as we navigate this world, not only through pandemics, but through politics and through climate change and through all of the things that confront us. So I will email those 7 pieces to Beverly. I'll do that before I leave on the trip, and we'll have it on the website so you can print those off and really focus. And if you just each day take one. On Monday, don't flee the darkness. Tuesday, don't forget the deep down goodness of things. Wednesday, see the divinity found in nature. The next day, return the divine feminine into your life. Focus on your deepest self. Saturday, trust and be of courage. And Sunday, remember that love unites us all. A beautiful focus for each. The end of our book has this. In the Celtic world, reawakening to the sacred is reawakening to love, for the two are inseparably intertwined. This is the call for us today. From Pelagius and Bridget of Kildare to today, the Celtic prophets are calling up us to wake up to what is deepest in all things, the sacredness of the divine, and to remember that deep within this sacredness is love. This is the love we can offer to each other and the earth. This is the love we can receive from one another and the earth. When we love, we are most truly alive. When we love, we are most fully awake to the true heart of the other, made of God and sacred. Matthew Fox closes with this. Julian took advantage of the crisis to explore more deeply what her soul and heart truly desired and was capable of. That's what mystics do. And we are all mystics, especially in a time of radical transformation such as this. Let us pray. Oh, we give thanks for each and every soul who is present in the world at this time. We send blessings to all of those who have gone before, blessings to those present now, and blessings to those yet to come. Let us remember to retreat into our souls each day to be nourished in that place where our beloved dwells. Let us remember as life unfolds that all shall be well, and all shall be well, and every kind of thing shall be well. So with faith and trust and courage, with compassion and justice and wisdom, with grace and peace and love, let us be present, explore our souls and our hearts to see what we most deeply desire, and even more, what we are capable of. Oh, we give thanks that you are present in our world, and each and every one of you is blessed this day and full of blessings to share. Let us go forth and be that presence, embody that presence, and see it all around us in our lives, in one and in all. And so it is, Om Amen, and blessed be.